Blog Talk Radio.
Stalemate. As Nichols reports, the deal that ended the shutdown set up a high-stakes conference committee on budget issues. If there is to be a grand bargain, this is where it will be generated. And Ryan, the most prominent of 14 Democrats, 14 Republicans, and two independents on the committee, is in the thick of it. The budget committee chairman says it would be premature to get into exactly how we're going to sort out budget issues. But no one should have any doubts about the hard bargain he will drive. In the midst of the shutdown, Ryan jumped the gun by penning a Wall Street Journal op-ed that posed reforms to entitlement programs and the tax code.
Here are just a few ideas to get the conversation started, Ryan wrote. We could ask the better off to pay higher premiums for Medicare. We could reform Medigap plans to encourage efficiency and cut costs. And we could ask federal employees to contribute more to their own retirement. Translation, get ready for the radical reshaping of Medicare so that it is no longer a universal program. Make way for more price gouging at the private companies that sell supplemental insurance, and launch a new assault on public employees who have already been hit with wage freezes and furloughs. However, despite those escal among them who congratulated the president for not negotiating, when the recent threat of federal default loomed, it seemed that the long game for GOP hostage takers is to see how often they can impose a crisis before the Democrats finally are allowed to bend, and have repeatedly suggested they will, on dismembering their most successful and once coveted policy achievements, Social Security and Medicare.
As Escal, citing ample evidence, writes, not only do Democrat leaders apparently want to cut entitlements, some such cuts are included in the president's current budget. But they've essentially conceded as much, leaving them very little negotiating leverage. For their part, Republicans say they're willing to give up the harmful cuts known as sequestration, and only those cuts in return for Social Security and Medicare benefit reductions. We've paid into that.
No, it's not their money.
Their defense contract to patrons would be amply rewarded in return for sacrifices from American seniors and disabled. That's not sacrifices, that's stealing.
That's stealing. Exactly.
Within their established circle of beltway punditry and cable news shows, the idea of a negotiated settlement in which Democrats offer up cuts to earn benefit programs like Social Security in exchange for some sort of vague revenue increase is now heralded as the obvious and mature cost for Congress and the Obama White House. However, as Escal argues, entitlement cuts are not an adult position, but rather the conservative position of longstanding. Further, pushing back against Democrats who have embraced the idea of the so-called grand bargain with their Republican counterparts, Escal says that Escal says that unless a broad-based populist movement
The American public should expect some scenario in which programs like Medicare and Social Security receive long-term cuts in exchange for a short-term budget deal with Republicans. More and more, Escal writes, we find ourselves in a bizarre world situation where too many Democrats speak like Republicans. Most Republican Party leaders speak like right-wing extremists, and the Republican Party insurgents sound more and more like the leaders of the parliamentary militias. This lurch to the right is not only bad economics, he argues, but clearly bad politics too, he writes. Any scenario which leads to Social Security and Medicare cuts would be bad for seniors. It would also be bad for any politician who supported it. A recent poll by Lake Research shows that 82% of all Americans oppose cuts to Social Security, including 83% of Democrats, 78% of independents, and 82% of Republicans. And in one of the most startling findings of all, fully three-fourths of all self-described Tea Party members, 74%, Social Security Works has a video and a petition on this subject.
Democrats hold the advantage on this issue right now, which means it's theirs to lose. But for those Americans forced to watch the increasingly bizarre world of Washington politics surrounding the budget battle, what is the scenario in which the idea of Social Security, of Medicare cuts are vanquished? ESCOW predicts the odds are slim, but argues the only scenario to be hopeful for is one in which progressives, both office holders and activists, lead a popular movement which reflects public opinion and defends these programs from the so-called grand bargain cuts and concludes. It won't be an easy victory, but it's the only ending to this story in which everybody lives happily ever after. Seniors and disabled people aren't forced unnecessarily into penury or financial insecurity. Good Democrats get elected or reelected to office. A serious conversation has begun about how to mitigate the effects of runaway profit seekings on American health care. The scenario won't come by itself. People will have to work for it, but it would be more than worth the effort.
So, anyway, that was my comment here. It really is. It's really disgusting. It's a disgusting thing what these people are doing. And I got no faith in Democrats. I got no faith in Republicans. And, you know, it's gone. Let me go to something else here. As we're talking about Social Security, let's just look at this for 1 second. Did you know the federal government does not fund Social Security?
Social Security is funded by American workers.
The federal government actually owes money to Social Security.
The billion-dollar anti-Social Security lobby doesn't want you to know where the debt really is.
Yeah, we don't have a debt with this. You know, there's no problem with Social Security. At all.
It's funded by our money. It's deducted.
And not only that, if they just raised the cap, okay, if the 1%
paid
their fair share of it, all right, then it would be
fine.
You know, it would be fine. And it's
and
still
fine. And as a matter of fact, they could extend benefits.
That's sure. And it wouldn't be any problem whatsoever. But oh no.
They want that money.
That's right.
Fascists want the money.
This might be interesting to you. Articles of impeachment are being passed around the Congress right now. I don't know where that's going to go, but I think it's definitely worthwhile.
WND.
Yeah. And
that's the site.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. Come on, don't give me a problem.
Just wait a second.
I hate sites that have so many pop-ups.
But it has to come up first before you can get rid of it.
Okay. Any more pop-ups in this thing? Okay. A book described as the first draft of the Articles of Impeachment against Barack Obama has been distributed to all 435 members of the House, including the dozen or so who have already publicly admitted they have considered the idea. Impeachable Offenses, a case for removing Barack Obama from office by Aaron Klein and Brenda J. Elliott, argues that Obama already has committed many violations of the Constitution that could qualify him for impeachment, including his health care legislation, which the authors describe as taxation without representation. The delivery of the book, donated by the publisher, WND Books, was arranged by Representative Steve Stockman from Texas.
Who's a Republican?
Yeah. Well, the congressman, obviously, you're not going to get a Democrat for impeachment on Obama, even though they should. The congressman previously told WND, regarding the scandals and controversy surrounding Obama, there is a lot to this book, and I think at some point, if the smoking gun leaves the White House, we have to take action. I'm not going to bother reading the rest of it because it's a crappy book, because that's what most of these guys do. But the thing is at least they're contemplating it, which is, good. Now, the last guy who tried to bypass Congress with all that crap was Bill Clinton, and he got impeached. So he wound up not getting out.
There doesn't seem to be any problem. They pay him to speak all over. Everybody thinks
he paid everybody off in the world, man.
He accepted money from China in order to get elected.
Exactly. He made things happen.
Yeah. creep.
Yeah. Here's just a little more crap on Obama here. Expensive massages, top shelf vodka, and five-star hotel. First lady accused of spending $10 million in public money on her vacation.
This is from Mail Online.
Yeah.
The Obama summer break on Martha's Vineyard has already been branded a PR disaster after the couple arrived 4 hours apart on separate government jets. But according to news reports, this is the least of their extravagances. White House sources today claim the First Lady has spent $10 million of U.S. taxpayer money on vacations alone in the past year.
Yeah. Branding her disgusting and vacation junkie, they say that 47-year-old mother of two has been indulging in five-star hotels where she splashes out on expensive massages and alcohol.
More revealed how Obama goes hobnobbing with friends and donors while on Martha's Vineyard holiday. Those are other ones.
These are other articles.
The top source told the National Enquirer, "It's disgusting. Michelle is taking advantage of the privileged position while the most hardworking Americans can barely afford a week or two off work. Remember, an hour or two.
Yeah,
when it's all added up, she spent more than $10 million in taxpayer money on her vacation."
The First Lady is believed to have taken 42 days of holiday in the past year, including a $375,000 break in Spain and four-day trip to Vail, Colorado, where she spent $2,000 a night on a suite at the Sebastian Hotel. And the First Family's nine-day stay in Martha's Vineyard is also proving costly, with rental of the Blue Heron Farm property alone costing an estimated $50,000 a week. The source continued, Michelle also enjoys drinking expensive booze during her trips. She favors martinis with top-shelf vodka and has a taste for rich, sparkling wine. The vacations are totally Michelle's idea. Just like a junkie, she can't schedule enough getaways, and she lives from one to the next, all the while sticking to a hard work.
Sticking it to hardworking Americans.
Yeah.
Oh, it shows pictures of her having a wonderful time.
Well, the
president and his wife do pay for some of their personal expenses from their own pocket. The website WhiteHouseDossier.com says that the amount paid by the couple is dwarfed by the overall cost to the public. The magazine also reported that Mrs. Obama, whose fashion choices are widely followed, has been going on wild shopping sprees, much to the distress of her husband, who its sources reveal, is absolutely furious at his wife's out-of-control spending. The president has already come under fire this week over his decision to take a family vacation while millions of Americans are out of work and countless more are financially strapped.
But the situation sparked further anger after he and his wife elected to fly separately to Massachusetts retreat, despite traveling on the same day. Mr. Obama left the White House aboard Marine One on his way to Andrews Air Force Base to hitch a lift aboard Air Force One along with First Dog Bo. After landing at Cape Cod Coast Guard Air Station, he was told took a final helicopter to a holiday destination to complete a remarkable 500-mile journey. His wife and daughters, who arrived just 4 hours earlier, were also traveling from Washington, but took a specially designed military aircraft. They would also have had their own motorcade from the airport to the vacation residence. So,
the girls' trip to Spain, August 2010. The cost is unclear, as Mrs. Obama and 40 friends footed many personal expenses, such as hotels and meals themselves. But the U.S. taxpayers would have paid for the First Lady's 68-strong security detail, personal staff, and use of the presidential jet, Air Force Two. Per diems for the Secret Service team runs at around $281 a day
each,
nearly $98,000 for the length of the summer break. Use of the Air Force Two, Air Force version of the 757, comes in at around $149,900 for the round trip. This does not include time on the ground. Mrs. Obama's personal staff, blah, 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 just
And then it goes to Christmas break in Hawaii. It cost over $63,000 in early flight for Mrs. Obama and the children. $1 million on Mr. Obama's return trip from Washington on Air Force One.
The bill for the trip was $1.5 million, Leo.
Yeah. And the trip to Vail on February 11th cost a fortune, $2,400 a night, just to visit the room. And all it just gets crazier and crazier.
Well, that's why we have Camp David.
That's why they did have Camp David.
Go there for vacation.
A lot of them did go there, or something, but good God, man.
You're not traveling all over the world having it on the American taxpayer.
No, I don't think that's
right. I don't think that's right.
That's what we're supposed to do here, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. All right. Now, New York Congressman introduced a bill to abolish presidential term limits. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Yeah, that we could wind up having Obama, if we couldn't have him, but he could do away with election the way he is.
Yeah.
Stalin did.
The deal we call him.
I think it's interesting that we take a New York up your butt congressman, like Schumer, to.
This is one that I never heard of, Serrano.
New York Democratic Representative Jose Serrano introduced a bill in Congress on Friday to repeal the 22nd Amendment, which places term limits on the U.S. presidency. The bill, which has been referred to committee, would allow President Obama to become the first president since Franklin Roosevelt to seek a third term in office. He'd never win. But 15 proposes an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to repeal the 22nd article, and thereby removing the limitation on the number of terms a president can serve. The bill is reintroduced, is a reintroduction of H.J. Res. 17, which Serrano introduced in Congress in January 2011. It was referred to the House Judiciary Committee, but did not make it to a full vote. Repealing the 22nd Amendment has been a long-term goal of Serrano's, regardless of the sitting president. Why would he be such a kiss by
him? He's paid off.
Serrano proposed similar resolutions in 1997, 1999 during Bill Clinton's administration, and in 2000, 2005, 2007. This guy brings this stuff up every year, and none of the proposals ever made it to the floor vote. But can you imagine this bum? Why did they have bums like this?
I don't know.
Now, why? Why? I
have no thought as to why somebody
might
support
someone
like that.
Yeah. Here's something wonderful, a little quote by George W. Bush. One of my proudest moments is I didn't sell my soul for the sake of popularity.
Of course he didn't. He only sold it for money.
That's all. He sold it for money.
He wouldn't sell it for something as elusive as popularity.
No. Did you know that Adolf Hitler was nominated for Nobel Peace Prize in 1939?
Nope.
Yep. Yes, he was.
So that tells you that's
all about, isn't it? This is interesting. If you have an account with the Bank of America, it says, I see you only have 56 cents in your account. So here's an $8.95 monthly maintenance fee for not having enough money to prevent the fee. Your account is now in the red, and you owe us $8.39. But wait, you overdrafted here. Here's a $35 fee. You're welcome, and thank you for choosing Bank of America.
Yeah, great thing.
That's their new policy. They charge you $8.95 and a $35 overdraft fee. That's something? Okay, almighty. This one was kind of frightening. I wanted to get to that in a few minutes, but I wanted to talk about Obamacare tonight. It says ABC's John Carl puts the heat on Carney, who is the House Secretary of Press. He says, "You can't fine people for not getting the health insurance if you don't fix this mess."
I agree with that.
He's one of the media spokesmen there, ABC guys.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, this was one of the funniest things I saw, which was, maybe we could use a little humor right now.
Yeah, why don't you put that right on?
But I'll put that on right after I say this. Oprah slams Obama for his Obamacare. An immediate, flat-out, unequivocal no. She will not help him. Not help him promote that.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, she at least she understands that, you know. She understands the core better than he does.
Do you remember where? What happened with that? Do you remember? No.
What?
You have to go down here
so that
we can read it. Do you remember when Oprah Winfrey endorsed President Obama in the runner-up to the 2008 presidential election? The country went wild. If Oprah was behind him, he had to be the one. I'm euphoric. I've been doing the happy dance all day. I'm so proud of Barack and Michelle Obama and what this man means for all of us. The new possibilities for our country. And if he wants me, I'm ready to go door to door. That was Oprah Winfrey. Oprah was ready to put her reputation and wealth behind Barack Obama, expecting that his message of hope and change would finally put America on the road to liberty, equality, and prosperity. She was so emphatic and emotional about the possibility of him being the leader of the free world that she reportedly cried her eyelashes off at the Democratic convention. Yes, she was very emotional. She wasn't the only one. People all over the country were fainting in his very presence, and apparently still are.
Yeah,
but like much of the country, Oprah isn't singing Obama's praises anymore. It seems that she has realized what opponents of the president's policy have known all along. Barack Obama isn't just more of the same. He's much, much worse. The media icon was asked to attend a meeting at the White House along with other celebrities to see how they could help create some positive publicity for the Affordable Care Act. Rather than jumping on board like Alicia Keys and Jennifer Hudson, Oprah reported quickly, said that she would not be attending the meeting. All of Oprah's top people thought she would go because when the president invites you to the White House, most people automatically say yes, but Oprah said she didn't have the time or inclination to go. It wasn't like she had to think it over. It was an immediate, flat-out, unequivocal no, an Oprah advisor told journalist Ed Klein. Oprah had been promised direct access to the administration in exchange for her support and friendship. It was a partnership that was beneficial for both her and the president. But apparently Oprah, like the rest of us, got the shaft once Obama took power. Oprah intended to make her unique White House access a part of her new network, an unidentified source told Klein. There were big plans, and a team was put together to come up with proposals that would have been mutually beneficial. But none of that ever happened. Oprah sent notes and a representative to talk to Valerie Jarrett, but nothing came of it. It slowly dawned on Oprah that the Obamas had absolutely no intention of keeping their word and bringing her into their confidence. This is a burnt bridge that will not be fixed anytime soon, Klein argues. What could come at more of a cost to the TV host than the president? Obama hasn't budged, neither has Oprah. She's hurt and angry, and I seriously doubt that Oprah will ever make up with the Obamas. She knows how to hold a grudge, a source close to Winfrey said. Welcome to the club, Oprah. You fell for the proposal just like 50 million of your fellow Americans. Moreover, you helped push it right along, believing that Barack Obama had your best intentions at heart. At least now you know how the rest of us feel. We're all hurt, angry, and holding a grudge and screaming flat out an equivocal no.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she got screwed, huh?
She got screwed, and we all got screwed.
Yeah. Well, he screwed his own people first.
He screwed his own friends. He screwed his own people.
Yeah, typical like Clinton.
Yeah.
Except Clinton killed a lot of his on the way. They all
killed
his
guy. Yeah, yeah. No, this guy hasn't been anybody's friend either. The emperor has no clothing.
Yeah, you got that right.
But you know what's funny? This came up today. I was really stunned to see this. Turns out that this is by LadyPatriots.com, but it says proof that Obama's fainting lady was faked. In fact, the lady that fainted behind him, it was all a fake to make him dramatic, you know, to make it look dramatic when he was talking. And somebody figured this one out. And it's called, her name is, I'll tell you in a second. Sure, it's Lady Patriots. blog. the author is Dr. Sharon Schutz. I don't watch a lot of television. In fact, I don't ever watch it. If it doesn't come on Netflix or an online video, I usually skip it. That's why it took me a little while to watch the video of the president's rescuing the damsel in distress in the Rose Garden. It popped up on my news feed on Facebook, and I got curious. As it turned out, it floored me. I couldn't believe how phony it was.
Oh.
As soon as I watched it, I went to YouTube to check it out from different directions. It was just as fake from any of them. For some reason, strange reason, Obama has to have props around him when he does on one of his con jobs in the Rose Garden or wherever he goes to receive his worshippers. This was no different, except that he had animated props this time. Although it was well staged, there were enough holes in this little scene to drive the proverbial truck through. It is obvious that there are quite a few people involved in this latest fraud put out by the White House. Why did Obama think it was necessary to catch a fainting woman just when he said the words, to free families from the pervasive fear that one illness, okay, and he said it, and down she went. Well, not actually down. She just weaved and wobbled a little and never quite fainted. And consequently, Obama never actually caught her. He turned around and put his hand on her shoulder as if to steady her and turned back to the camera to make sure it got a clear shot of his rescue efforts. You will see in the following video, and there's a video that shows it, that the pregnant woman is standing with a friend who is holding her hand with her arm wrapped around her waist. That is until she starts to faint. Then she steps slightly back aside and never even looks at the woman she is holding. She smiles a nervous smile to the camera because she has done her part and in this extremely poorly orchestrated drama. This is the woman that stood back, Now, why would they come up with this transparent attempt to manipulate the low-information voters?
Who knows?
Did it make anyone feel warm and fuzzy for our hero president? Well, probably. There are a lot of idiots out there. Did it take the focus off the disastrous website? I don't think so. Whatever the reason was that Obama and his advisors had to dream up this silly scheme, it certainly smacks of desperation. If I was him, I would fire them all. But who knows? As stupid as this idea was, it could have been his. Maybe he'll fire himself. Right? And
this video shows that Barack Obama and the pregnant woman in the Rose Garden had a plan. There were several people involved, and while we were watching and listening to what he was saying, we weren't paying attention to what he was doing.
For the first time, the lift from the American people, the crushing burden of unaffordable health care. To free families from the pervasive fear, the one illness.
You can see how he did that. It's almost like it was like time. Time. It was just time.
It was the person behind her, rescued her.
Yeah.
It wasn't him.
No, he barely touched her.
The woman standing beside the pregnant woman is holding her hand. And if you notice, her other hand, her left hand, is slipped around behind her back. And you can see it on her side. Here's a close-up of the two women together. One is holding the other's hand, and you can see under the arm, the left hand is around her back.
Yeah.
What's the woman to the right of her friend? She leans over and whispers something in her ear, which actually starts things moving. But in just a moment, you'll see some other things that will really get your attention.
That's interesting, huh?
And the law works. That's why we fought so hard to pass this law, to save folks like John Money.
Watch her friend. This is a close-up of the woman who has her arm around her and is still holding her hand. She looks into the audience. She communicates with someone. She even speaks to them. And then she communicates with her friend. And that's when the action begins. In just a moment, I'm going to replay that little part right here, where she nudges her friend
to
let her know it's time. Right after that, you see the man in the back put his hand on the woman's shoulder because he's steadying her. The president turns around. Watch her friend. She never even leans over to in concern for the friend who she's got her arm around and whose hand she's holding. She's very aware that this woman is fixing to go down. She's very much part of it, and she was the one who prompted it to happen.
Somebody wants to single
pay
close
attention to her. She never looks over, and she smiles when the president turns around. The question is, why would they do this? Was it to take the attention off of the failure of Obamacare and the website with using 10-year-old technology? Was it to make people feel sorry for the president or this sick woman who needs insurance? We never know what kind of props he's going to come up with, but this is a new one. If you have any ideas,
that's fine. I suggest
the way she looked at it.
You can see that, couldn't you? Couldn't you see that? You could see all the signals. You could see them giving signals to one another. All right. It was so fake, man. It was just so fake.
Kind of looked like it was.
It was seriously
sure.
fake.
I don't know.
Yeah, seriously fake. You know, this guy would stoop to no end to do this. Okay. Yep. They're all flipping out about Obamacare so much that Syria, Benghazi, and the NSA scandals are completely off their radar.
That's true.
That's for sure. And Feinstein over here. Is she a scary one?
Mm-hmm.
This traitor is Israeli. She's an Israeli dual citizen. He's at it again. This time, it's an attack on our First Amendment freedom of speech. Senator Feinstein is anticipating introducing legislation that would criminally punish those who make critical statements about the NSA and its secret courts. Almost unbelievable. I mean, isn't she wicked? Some kind of wicked nightmare.
That's that right.
Here's something else that frightened the hell out of you. If you say this. Public Law 105-85. Allows testing of biological weapons on civilian populations.
That's us.
Okay. Biological agent defined. Microorganisms including bacteria, viruses, fungi, rickettsiae or protozoa, pathogen or infectious substance, and any naturally occurring bioengineered or synthesized component of any such microorganism, pathogen, or infectious substance, whatever its origin or method of production that is capable of causing death, disease, or other biological malfunction in a human, an animal, or plant. 2, deterioration of food, water, equipment, supplies, or material of any kind. Or 3, deleterious alteration of the environment. See?
So those chemtrails or whatever else they decide to dump on us is legal according to U.S. law.
Isn't that amazing?
Sick.
Isn't that sick? That's right, folks. That's exactly right.
You
want to check out Public Law 105-85.
There's a little arrow there. Just click on
it. That's like a different thing. It's Obama. Ryan, is that you? Obama's about ready to dump everybody off the
cliff.
So, anyway, this guy's a geneticist.
Yeah, John Holden.
Go on for a second. Planned grandparenthood. Because we do think at a certain point you've collected enough social security. They're ready to
dump us.
To kill you. And
we're the health care compromise.
There, hang on to this. It's a big screw. It says a doctor's given this to a patient. It says, hang on to this. Someone from the government will be by shortly to install it. Beware the health care compromise. These guys are
And then they were all laughing and chortling.
They were laughing at Obamacare. And then we told them it was an attack. Ha ha! Yeah. Nancy Pelosi and horrible people.
What's her name from Connecticut?
Rosa DeLauro and Larson. Why did we get those guys? They must really be culpable. They must really be hypocrites. A person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion, and a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs and feelings. That is a hypocrite. Well, that is not true. That is what they are. That is what they are. Oh, this is a good one. Al Gore invests in a fracking company.
No, that's
that, the that, yeah.
Oh, I thought he was all for green.
Oh, he's all for Mr. Environment. Yeah. Nothing like fracking.
He really can't make any money on that.
Yeah,
so.
He's going back to his old ways there. And let's see. Former U.S. Vice President and Environment Advocate Al Gore has closed a deal to make a multi-million-dollar investment in a natural gas producer that specializes in fracking.
Mm.
You want to read that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. In a statement to shareholders, Canada-based Petro-Bakken Resources announced that Gore and his investment partners would be pumping $200 million into the company to return for a 15% stake. The move comes this week after Gore sold his shares in cable broadcaster Current to Al Jazeera, Middle Eastern channel backed by oil wells. Both transactions have raised eyebrows because of the dissonance between Gore's high-profile environmental activism and his investment strategy.
So this happened quite a while ago.
Not really.
I think so.
No. Well, February,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's still news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was news to me. Was it news to you?
Yeah, but I just find it
I don't know anybody,
interesting that it happened in February.
Yeah. Well, nobody caught it. Right? Well, anyway... There's our friend Gore.
What a freak he is.
Yeah, Mr. Global Warming himself. Yeah.
Environmentalist, yeah, right.
Yeah, what a farce, huh? What a absolute hypocrite. But anyway, we all knew that, right?
Yeah.
Now, guess who invented fracking? Cheney's company, Halliburton. Yeah. He gets fracking exempt from the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, and Safe Drinking Act. Then he tells you it's safe.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney. Yeah, mm-hmm. Fracking is safe after he gets all the exemptions. Here's something that Gail sent to us.
Oh.
And it's called "I Dump the Israelis Tomorrow." Ex-CIA Michael Schur tells Congress. A little video piece. Want to go to that?
Yeah, let's go to that.
Okay. Guy testifying. It's about 9 minutes.
We're pleased to be joined here today by 6 distinguished witnesses. To discuss this important topic. First, Dr. Michael Schur is an adjunct professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. Dr. Schur recently concluded a 22-year career with the CIA, where there Dr. Schur held multiple positions, including senior advisor for the Osama bin Laden department. We're very pleased to have you and honored, sir. Next,
in the Muslim world. And I would certainly, if I was in charge, change many of the policies we have. But it's more important that we in this country become adults. Nothing a person does in his life doesn't have a counter-reaction. Does our foreign policy cause this war? Not a chance. The people who attacked us caused this war. Does our foreign policy motivate these people? Absolutely. Sir, if you're going to tell the American people they're fighting a war against a bunch of deranged, nihilist, fanatic extremists, we're going to be fighting a war that is constantly going to surprise the American people about the costs of what they're doing. If we come to a place where we can have a discussion that says supporting Israel is essential to the U.S. security, supporting Saudi Arabia is important, vital to U.S. security, having U.S. troops in Muslim countries is vital to U.S. security, fine, but also tell the American people that costs come with that. Right now, we've spent 17 years in this war, and the American people still think we're fighting a bunch of long-haired, bearded, goat-eating madmen. And we're at a terrible disadvantage that we impose on ourselves, sir. And I would finish a too long a statement by simply saying that we must stop the idiocy of democracy spreading. If you want to fight forever, keep trying to impose women's rights, secularism, the paganism of American culture, contemporary culture on a religious civilization, sir.
And I'll take let's make a comment. First of all, I've known you over the years, but I have to take sharp disagreement with your position about our support of Israel. I believe it's essential if the United States for our security continues to support Israel. I believe that if we back away from Israel or Jordan, for instance, using those countries, Morocco, as examples, that Al-Qaeda will find some other excuse. I mean, we can find any number of reasons. I can tell you during the 1990s, after Iraq, but between 1995 and 2001, the only time the Americans used force overseas was to defend Muslims against Christians in Bosnia and in Kosovo. And yet the response by Al-Qaeda to that was to attack us on September 11th. So I think we make a mistake if we think we can somehow appease Al-Qaeda by taking away whatever they're...
Not at all a matter of appeasement, Mr. King, at all. If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
No, you would. I know.
But I have, all I worry about is the continuing preaching of American politicians to the American people that our relationship with the Israelis doesn't cause us to have dead American and extraordinary expenses in fighting the Muslim world.
I would just say we'd have more dead Americans if we didn't stand by our allies in the Middle East.
Well,
we'd just be encouraging Al-Qaeda to take advantage of us. I think that...
Our allies in the Middle East are mostly totalitarian, sir, and they have been for 50 years.
There are not that many good people in the world. The fact is you have to work with those who work with us. And if I had the choice between dealing with the Israelis and Al-Qaeda, I work with Israel. If I had the choice between dealing with Jordan or Al-Qaeda, I'd deal with Jordan. And the fact is that you can find any other excuses why Al-Qaeda is going to come after us.
No, sir, you can't.
Yes, I think you can.
No, you can't, sir. Osama bin Laden would have been a terrific American politician because he stays on message. There's only one message that comes out of Al-Qaeda, and I think...
That's the message they're using now. If it's not there, if we pull out of Israel, if we
you
stop
have
supporting...
To
no, let me say, if we stop supporting Israel, then the message would be...
You have...
America was cowardly, America was backed away, they're not going to stand by their allies.
It
could always... It's the flip side of everything, and I would rather stand with positive elements like Israel and back
down. I'm a bear of little brain, sir, but I... you know, you've got to go with what you go with at the moment. These people are fighting for something substantive, for something religious. And they're not fighting us for what reason do you suppose they're going to come up with? Because we have Hollywood? I would like to fight Hollywood. But, I mean, they're not going to fight us because we have women in the workplace. That's an insanity. What they're fighting us about is what we do. And we don't have to stop what we're doing, sir. But we have to realize the cost.
And I think it'd be worse if we stop what we're doing. And that's my point.
Well, that's fine. Tell the American people that.
It's also, of course, what you're asking for. And I think that cost would be a lot greater.
I don't think so, sir.
Well,
couldn't be worse than
we
now.
We disagree.
You know, you're presiding over a bankruptcy. What can be worse? And what has been the goal of Al-Qaeda since it was formed? To bankrupt the United States. Who's winning today, sir? We're done like dinner.
We're winning and we'll continue to win unless we take the advice of people like
sir,
you.
Sir, you are exactly wrong.
Well,
we are losing. Two U.S. field armies were defeated by men in the field with weapons from the Korean War.
The fact is, we have not been successfully attacked since September 11th.
The fact is, sir, we had two military defeats overseas.
The fact is, we have not been successfully attacked since September 11th.
Sir, that's a goofy argument. That is a goofy argument, sir.
I hate to gamble down the
show. I'm sure you're an expert on
goofy.
I appreciate the gentleman's spirit in the band.
New York.
Again, I want to come back to understand some of the things you said. Before I do that, and I just want to mention this quickly, I find your position on our alliance with Israel as very troubling. It won't surprise you to tell you that I disagree with you. And you spent 17 years, is that right, or something like that, as a CIA analyst?
Over 20, sir.
Okay, over 20.
Not as an analyst, I ran operations, sir.
Okay. Would you say there's a large number of CIA analysts or employees who agree with your position?
I wouldn't dare to speak for anybody but myself, sir.
Well,
only a fool would know that our relationship with Israel causes us war with Muslims.
Well my question
is
fairly simple.
Yes,
you worked with hundreds of employees.
Yes.
Both. You certainly had conversations with many of them. I'm asking for your opinion of are there a large number who agree with you?
I'm not a McCarthyite, sir. I'm not going to say anything about that to you.
Okay, well, I'm going to take that as non-responsive because it's a fairly simple question, and I don't
really
have any business
with
this problem. My conversations with other people are about it, sir. I'm not asking for specifics of those conversations. I'm asking for your opinion of your experience where there are a large number that agreed with you. That's a fairly simple question. Hardly intrusive.
Very intrusive from my perspective, sir.
Well, okay, well, you can have your perspective.
Thank
and
you,
I think
sir.
Others can evaluate whether you're being agreeable or disagreeable.
I'm being disagreeable on this because
yes,
you certainly
are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, let me move on then. I would like you to explain very quickly, if you can, what you think the primary motivators are for Islamic jihadism.
First, our support for the Israelis.
Okay, that's your
second,
number. That's your.
No, there are six.
Okay, put them in order if you could.
Our support for tyranny for over 50 years in the Muslim world.
Okay.
trigger our presence on the Arab Peninsula. Third, I would put the Israelis rising. Fourth, our ability for a long time to get oil at prices that were very much below the market level. Fifth, our presence, military presence in other countries in the Muslim world. And sixth, our abiding willingness to identify as terrorists any Muslim population that one of our allies dislikes, whether it's the Russians or the Chinese.
Okay, let me,
those six things.
I appreciate that. And let me say, and then I'm going to move on to other witnesses. I was an Air Force officer for 14 years. I have spent significant time with...
We got Spike, folks. Sorry about that. And I guess we're going to have to move on here. Somebody didn't like us being on the air. Somebody, and it's probably Jew. Probably somebody Jewish did not like us being on the air.
The Zionist
group. Okay.
Would be a Zionist, not necessarily a Jewish person. Could be a Christian Zionist.
Could be a Christian.
They got
Zionist.
Plenty of them, that's for sure.
But more than likely, we're being watched and we're being, you didn't get my other computer, so we're still on the air. So up yours. But just interesting to note that whenever we bring these subjects up,
This is an interview in Congress.
Yeah.
That's not public information.
Right. No.
This is a congressional hearing.
But one that wasn't really
picked up by. It wasn't picked up by the mainstream media.
Right. But anything that's anti, Israel, is going to get sacked. And that's exactly what happened to us. So you can go on the air with that, folks. Alright? And, this happened too many times for us.
Not to know what it is.
Not to know what it is, yeah.
I'm sorry that happened because that's an excellent piece, that hearing.
And I'm going to tell you where to go to get it. I put it on Facebook, but it's on YouTube. And, I'm going to tell you what it is. It whacked me right out of my own.
Out of your own site?
Right out of my own site. It's amazing, folks. I mean, when they want to get you, they get you.
Mm-hmm.
They can do almost anything.
Kaiser Permanente.
And they want you to know this. Thousands of consumers get insurance cancellation notices due to health care law changes.
This is by Ann Gormans and
right.
Julie Appleby.
And
health plans are sending hundreds of thousands of cancellation letters to people who buy their own coverage, frustrating some consumers who want to keep what they have and forcing others to buy more costly policies. The main reason insurers offer is that the policies fall short of what the Affordable Care Act requires starting January 1st. Most are ending policies sold after the law passed in March 2010. At least a few are canceling plans sold to people with pre-existing medical conditions. By all accounts, the new policies will offer consumers better coverage, in some cases, for comparable costs, especially after the inclusion of federal subsidies for those who qualify. The law requires policies sold in the individual market to cover 10 essential benefits, such as prescription drugs, mental health treatment, and maternity care. In addition, insurers cannot reject people with medical problems or charge them higher prices. The policies must also cap consumers' annual expenses at levels lower than many of the plans sold before the new rules.
But the cancellation notices, which began arriving in August, have shocked many consumers in light of President Barack Obama's promise that people could keep their plans if they liked them. He says, "I don't feel like I need to change, but I have to," said Jeff Learned, a television editor in Los Angeles, who must find a new plan for his teenage daughter who has a health condition that has required multiple surgeries. An estimated 14 million people purchase their own coverage because they don't get it through their jobs. Calls to insurers in several states show that they have sent notices. Florida Blue, for example, is terminating over 300,000 policies, about 80% of its individual policies in the state. Kaiser Permanente in California has sent notices to 160,000 people. They're terminating their policies. So.
Both Independent and Highmark are canceling so-called guarantee issue policies, which have been sold to customers who had pre-existing medical conditions when they signed up. Policyholders with regular policies, because they do not have health problems, will be given an option to extend their coverage through the next year. Consumer advocates say such cancellations raise concerns that companies may be targeting their most costly enrollees. They may be doing this as an opportunity to push their populations into the exchange and purge their systems of policyholders they no longer want.
That's what's going on.
Higher
and,
costs.
Yeah.
Some receiving cancellations say it looks like their costs will go up, despite studies projecting that about half of all enrollees will get income-based subsidies. Chris Moline, 56, lives outside Seattle and has a health policy that costs $390 a month, with a $2,500 deductible and a $10,000 in potential out-of-pocket expenses.
This goes on and on. The reason I want to stop this is because there's one more thing I've got to talk about.
Because I wondered how much she was going to end up paying.
Well, she wound up paying $6,250 a year. Right?
$79 more than her
And it's constantly going up for everybody. But I wanted to, sorry I broke that off a little, but this one is the most important. 28 signs that the West Coast is being absolutely fried with nuclear radiation in Fukushima. Right?
Yeah, we talked about that last week, too.
Not this, though. One more thing. Coconut oil miraculously helps Parkinson's patients regain quality of life. And you can get that article on naturalnews.com.
I hope you emailed that.
Warning to all Spirit Mobile users, mysterious phone calls from 865-6696 may install NSA surveillance devices.
Isn't
that something? Yeah, we got 1 minute left, and I want to get this so you know. Somewhere here. God. Okay, here we go. You can get this on Natural News as well, but warning to Sprint Mobile users, mysterious phone calls from 865-6696 may install NSA surveillance code on your phone. All right? All across America, people who have Sprint services on their phone and other mobile devices are receiving repeated calls from the number 865-6696, okay, without any area code. Sprint message boards are full of thousands of complaints of people experiencing this issue. but no one seems to understand the true reason why these calls are being made. When the call is answered, no one is there. Attempting to call the number back does not work. Spelled out on the phone keypad is the number 865-6696, spelled out unknown. Sattinger, adding to the mystery of where these calls are originating or what their purpose might be. Comments on message boards such as 800notes.com say things like, I receive 3 or 4 calls per day from this number with no area code, just 865-6696. I've not answered it for fear of who might be on the other end. I'm not sure how to report this and get this number to stop calling me. Very aggravating. And investigations turn up frightening possibilities of surveillance code payload. After hearing about this issue from several people I know personally, I decided to investigate. This is the Ranger Adams. And he said that first the scan of the message board indicates the issue is limited mostly, almost exclusively to iPhone owners using Sprint. And some people on the message boards have incorrectly assumed their calls must be from telemarketers and so on and so forth. But the NSA surveillance Trojan horse installed if you answer this question. You'll find out I called a contact I've known for many years who is an expert in cybersecurity. He's been one of the people closely watching the Edward Snowden disclosure and the NSA surveillance issue. He obviously asked me not to reveal his identity, so I won't. And he told me that this has been going on for over a year and that he believes the phone calls are a vector by which the NSA can install surveillance code into iPhone devices, but only if you answer the phone. Once you answer a so-called digital payload, it quickly downloads to your phone while you are saying, hello, hello. The digital payload requires several seconds for a complete download. My contact told me, if you hang up before the download completes, your device won't be infected because the code cannot be executed. The code is carried with the call, I was told, as a parallel digital stream encoded into a call data itself, in much the same way that secret messages can be encoded into JPEG images. Apple deliberately built in this backdoor payload receiving item, a fact which has been confirmed by releases of information from former NSA workers who exploded that show how Apple, Google, Microsoft, and other corporations deliberately built in back doors for NSA surveillance.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's in all computers. I know that Windows has it for sure, and they all do. The purpose of this digital payload, I was told, is not known, but it may be Trojan code that attaches breadcrumbs to your phone calls that allow the NSA to more easily locate, track, and archive your phone calls, text messages, and mobile web surfing activity. CNET and others confirm iPhone can be easily hacked.
We're over our time anyway. So
why are people receiving repeated calls? Nobody really knows, other than that it could very well be the NSA. So again, let me repeat that number. If you get it on your iPhone and you have Sprint, it's 865-6696. Okay? Don't do that. Don't answer that number.
That's for sure.
Okay. So I want to thank everybody. We had a lot of news to cover tonight. We still have more stuff to cover. There was a couple of things about this. I won't be able to cover it tonight, but 9 things you didn't know about our trade deficit with China. Okay, some of the wild stuff that's going on there. New study reveals U.S. workplaces are more deadly than the EU, than the United Kingdom. And I read this one. Thank you everybody
for
joining us.
I hope you join Leo tomorrow night if you do your show.
Yeah, I will be doing it.
I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
All right.
So have a good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
And join me tomorrow night. Right here.